as we continue looking at prayer, it's about communication with God, or even with each other. It's something that will always be a challenge. We want to say the right thing, and especially if it's in public, or even one-to-one, you want to get the words right. Because the dynamic changes when you know other people are listening. When other people are hearing every word that you speak out. So it can make you a bit cautious or apprehensive. So you want to get it right. You don't want to make mistakes. But of course, we can all make mistakes. There are times where we'll say the wrong words or we'll use the wrong terminology when trying to express our heart. It's a bit like the couple who decided to go to Tenerife for a winter break. They planned to stay at the same hotel that they spent on their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Now, due to the couple both having busy schedules, the husband left on a Thursday while his wife planned to fly out a day later. The husband gets there, checks into the hotel, and there was a computer in his room. So he decided that he would send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address. But he'd done this without realising it, so he just made this mistake. But meanwhile, there was somewhere else in the UK. A widow had just returned to her house from her husband's funeral, and he was a minister who'd been called home after having a heart attack. The widow decided that she would check her emails, expecting condolence messages from family and friends. But when she came to reading this first email, she screamed and fainted. Her son came rushing into the room, found his mum lying on the floor, and then he looked at the computer screen and he saw the message which he'd just read. And it said, "To my loving wife, I've just arrived today. I know you're surprised to hear from me." They have computers here now. And you're allowed to send emails to loved ones. So since I've just arrived, I thought I would send you an email. Everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. I hope your journey is as uneventful as mine. P.S. It sure is hot down here. So, there are sometimes missing out, the wrong terminology, the wrong word can change the whole dynamic of what it is that you're trying to say. So this morning, I'll try and get my words right. The first three statements that we previously looked at all had to do with God. In the prayers, it was about our Father, your kingdom, and your will. The next section of the Lord's Prayer that we're looking at today all have to do with our well-being, easily recognised as they all contain the word us. Give us, forgive us, lead us and deliver us. So it's all about us, or is it? We turn from that section where we're praying for God's glory to actually praying for our own needs. So we come back again to reading Matthew together, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. But it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And one of the realities of the Christian life is to realise that God cares about the simple day-to-day needs of our lives. He cares whether we're warm, fed, and housed. He's concerned for our whole well-being, including those things that are necessary to sustain life. So when we are taught to say, "Give us this day our daily bread," what does this request mean to each of us? You see, we can easily miss its importance for the simple reason when we get up this morning, none of us had the slightest doubt that we would be able to eat today. Most of us would have a concern about perhaps what we will eat rather than will we be able to eat. Now, when we are told to pray, give us today our daily bread, this is to remind us of our dependence on God for everything that God made us. He made us with needs in our life. And as a result of having needs within us, we would look to God to supply them. So in this prayer for daily bread, it stands for more than just food. It represents all the physical needs for our life. So when we pray for our daily bread, it expresses our conviction and our belief that God is able to answer our prayer and meet our needs. So it's not about trying to convince God as if he's unwilling or we need to bend his will to ours. This is about taking hold of God's willingness to give. You know, in the spiritual realm, it's true that yesterday's strength is absolutely useless to fight today's battles. Sometimes, as Christians, we rely on our past experiences of God to sustain us. But what we see here is that we need a fresh touch of God in our lives every day to sustain us for that day, every day. You know, none of us are given a reservoir of grace in our lives that will actually sustain us forever. There's an expectation that we would turn to God every day for the grace that's sufficient to meet the challenges of that day. So the phrase "this day" reminds us as believers that we need daily renewal of our spiritual strength. You know, many people will get stressed out with anxiety because they're trying to face the problems of tomorrow today. And therefore it increases their anxiety, they get worried as a result of it. And of course, Jesus addressed the problem of worry and anxiety in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Therefore, do not worry about what we shall eat, drink, or wear." And then he followed on by saying, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring enough worry of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So when we worry about tomorrow, we're telling our Heavenly Father that we're not sure that he can actually provide tomorrow's bread or tomorrow's need. So this invitation to pray, "Give us today our daily bread," is for us to come before God with even the small things, things that may not matter to others, but are important to you and I. And of course, the ultimate bread is Jesus himself, which we're reminded of in taking communion together this morning. In John 6, verse 51, Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of this world." So we're encouraged to seek Christ daily for our needs. After this section of prayer, where we have asked the Father for provision, now we move on to ask for his pardon. "Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors." This is an explicit prayer about seeking forgiveness. But it's also about having a forgiving spirit. You know, we're all conscious of our need for daily bread. But are we aware, of our need for daily forgiveness? If we are sincere when we pray, "Forgive us our debts," or "Forgive us our sins," then we are openly admitting ourselves as guilty of wrongdoing. Some people falsely presume that because, you know, when we are saved, we have no further need to ask for forgiveness or even confess our sin. But of course, this is not the case. In fact, John makes this very clear in his letter in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Really, strong words there for us to consider. Christians can and still do sin. And we therefore, we have a need for daily confession and forgiveness. Now, the thing that's worth remembering about this prayer is a prayer given to believers. This prayer was given to those who believe in Christ. It's advice for the family of God. And therefore, we need to keep it in its right context. This is not aimed at those who do not believe. It concerns you and I, and of course, the sin that could hamper our fellowship with the Father. So as believers, we know that we are forgiven, but that does not mean that forgiveness comes easily or naturally. It's always a battle to maintain a forgiving spirit towards others. But you know, when we do it, it's evidence of God's grace in our hearts and in our lives. Because otherwise, we would just give in to bitterness. Some people may say, I cannot forgive them. But is it really a case of, I will not forgive them? Do you know that forgiving others actually sets you free? Anyone who has harmed us or said something hurtful, you know, saying things like that towards us, they will still have to answer to God for that. So when we forgive others, it gets rid of the hurt, it gets rid of the pain in our life. And the direction in this prayer is not, Lord, forgive my sin and I will try and forgive those who have sinned against me. Being forgiven and forgiving others is linked. It's all about keeping our spirit right before God. One goes with the other. You know, I read a story about a preacher who one Sunday was speaking on forgiving your enemies. And towards the end, excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat. I thought I switched that off. Sorry. Sorry. Towards the end of his message, the preacher then asked the congregation, how many of you have forgiven their enemies? And about half the church raised their hands. So seeing that people were a bit sheepish about responding to it, he repeated the question again. All responded except one elderly lady. The preacher asked Mrs. Jones, he said, are you not willing to forgive your enemies? I don't have any, she replied. That's very unusual. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking, asked the preacher. I'm 93, she replied. Because he said, wow, Mrs. Jones, what a blessing and a lesson that you are to all of us. Would you please come out and tell us how a person can live to 93 and not have an enemy in the world? So Mrs. Jones gets helped out the front. She's tottering out the front to the church. And she turned round and she faced everyone and she said, I outlived the old hags. You know, you know, it is funny, it's amusing, but it could be the way that we deal with forgiving others. Let's wait them out. Let's just wait them out, and it'll eventually fade away. But the reality is, it won't. Is it possible that we are touching upon one of the principal causes of unanswered prayer? Human nature would have us hold on to a grudge, even for our own satisfaction. They don't deserve to be forgiven. What they've done really hurt me, and therefore, you know, no way am I going to go down that road. And yet that's not what God calls of us. For some people, it's easier to hold on to hating someone or just writing them off from a life because they've offended us. The reality is, when we do not forgive, we set up a roadblock in our prayer life. It's not about them. We set up a roadblock, a blockage in our own prayer life. So this guide to prayer from Jesus has so much to say about how we conduct ourselves, especially in the secret areas of our lives, the section that can remain hidden from one another. But it isn't hidden from our Father in heaven. I would encourage all of us to consider if there are any underlying grudges that we still harbour. And I would say to you this morning, give them over to God. Set yourself free. Set yourself free. Personally, I have a couple of areas where I've needed to forgive others. And I've prayed about them. And I have forgiven those concerned. But let me tell you what the risk is. The risk is picking it up again. When something is said, we go backwards and we start to gather up the old hurts along with the new. We need to learn from the example of our Father in heaven when it comes to forgiving. Forgive, let it go. In Psalm 103, verse 8 to 12, it tells us here about the Lord. It says, the Lord is compassionate, merciful, patient, and always ready to forgive. He will not always accuse us of wrong or be angry with us forever. He has not treated us as our sins deserve or paid us back for our wrongs. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that is how vast his mercy is toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, that is how far he's removed our sin from himself. How amazing our God is that he should consider us worthy to receive such forgiveness. And I would pray that for each of us, that would be the truth that leads us into a place where we can not only seek the Father's forgiveness, but freely forgive others because of the difference it will make in our spirit, the difference it will make in the channel between us and our Heavenly Father. Give us today our daily bread. Father, forgive my sin, that I would also forgive others. That's the call that he places on our life daily, that we would keep ourselves right before God. So let's hope and pray that God will indeed do that for each of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving. May your will be done on earth as you use each of us to display your love. Help us, Lord, to be set free from the hurts that would hold us back from entering into the fullness of your grace and mercy. Father, even now, for any here this morning who may be struggling with either unforgiveness from sin or forgiving others, may your truth deliver us from the enemy. The enemy who would try and keep us in that place of shame and hinder our approach to your throne of mercy. We praise you, Lord, for your Son, the one who set us free. His example of forgiveness for others is beyond our comprehension. Enable us, Lord, to accept your word and also to live in it. Lord, send your Holy Spirit amongst us that we would respond by seeking your love to overwhelm us to the point where we can only seek you and you alone, knowing that in Christ we are set free. Thank you, Lord, that you're always ready to forgive, and may that be the encouragement that leads each of us closer to you. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. I'm going to invite our worship team to lead us in our closing praise.
So we're going to close with a couple of hymns. All I Once Held Dear, Knowing You, and then we're going to finish with Be Thou My Vision. And again, if you want to stand, you can stand. If you'd like to sit, sit. All I once held dear, build my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you, and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one.
Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only are first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright and sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Father, we ask that you will continue to be our vision through today, through this week. May we daily come before you. May we spend time seeking you, seeking to be in your presence, because we know that unless we do this, we will not have your presence with us. We need you, Lord God, in our lives, and we pray that you will help us to remember your prayer, the Lord's prayer, each day. And may we give our lives to you each day, and may we ask for your aid and your help in our lives. Thank you, Father. Amen. And for those of you who still have not volunteered to take a verse, please do come up and do put your name down, take a verse. In a couple of weeks, I'd like to have a practice and see how much we've memorized. And maybe, I'm not sure if we're having a service on Christmas Day or New Christmas Eve. Christmas Day. Oh my, Christmas Day. Maybe we can try having a go at reciting the whole of Matthew chapter 5. Thank you.